Okay, good evening, everybody. Just give me a minute. I'm going to get my PowerPoint set up here. Try to be as fast as possible. So tonight I'm going to try in 15 minutes to walk you through my past, present, and future. And that's all fine, except that I tend to ramble when I'm at the pulpit, I've noticed. And so, is this up? Good. And so, I make no promises to be less than 15 minutes. So I'm going to try to, I guess, give a brief summary of kind of how Bailey and I have gotten to this point in our lives, preparing to go to Mexico as missionaries, and then hopefully also give a brief, I guess, explanation of what we hope to be doing in the future. So this is our family. Obviously, a new picture of us with Monty and Val, and then this little picture of Nora. I'm already rambling. I love the last two, I guess, girls we've had, Val and Nora, just love laying down with, like, a baby laying on your stomach or on your lap. Makes me so sleepy. It's so, it's wonderful. Anyway, I'll also say, because I'm going to be, keep moving, try to be brief, I'm also speaking Wednesday night. And so one of the things you might notice that is missing in what I'm going to talk about tonight is some of really the way Bailey and I have seen God's hand through this whole process. And so Wednesday night, I hope to just give a little bit of that, just a few stories of how we've seen God working in our lives in the past, like, couple years or so. So come on Wednesday night if you want to hear some of that stuff. We've got some cool stories. I'll try not to ramble. So just as a, I guess, an overview of a long-term objective for where Bailey and I are going. Hopefully, obviously, we're working with the organization Ethnos Canada, who works sending missionaries to, with the goal of reaching people who have no access to the Word of God or very little access to the Word of God with the gospel, and hopefully with the goal of them receiving the Word of God in their own languages. And we're going to people that are more remote. And so, so that's Ethnos. Bailey and I, our long-term goal is to be serving God in a church-planting role in an indigenous people group in Mexico. So that is where we're headed. And try to keep that in mind, I guess, as we go, because that kind of can get lost. We'll come back to it, but that's the path we're trying to go. That's what we're shooting for. And as we kind of, obviously, moving to Mexico soon, as we go through the steps, we're hoping that we can try to not get distracted and sidetracked by all of the other needs that come up. There are so many places and roles that need to be filled, things that need to be done. And so we're hoping that we will basically see ourselves through to joining a church planting team unless God absolutely shuts the door. So we can be, you guys could pray about that too, just so we wouldn't get distracted by other needs and things that come up along the way, as we've been advised often come up. Basic question, how do we get here? How did Bailey and I go from, just working regular jobs to now being about, as we'll talk about later, I'll give our departure date, but about 3 weeks out from heading to Mexico. And so I want to try to briefly give that story, and I'm going to, just for my own sake, try to break it down into, three main things that were, I think, most impactful for us. God has been working in our hearts, in our lives this whole time. This process started, I don't even know, when Bailey and I were dating, our fifth anniversary was this week, so that's 6 or 7 years ago, I guess. So yeah, 2020 or 2019, Bailey and I met. 2020, we began dating. I'm really trying not to ramble here. I could go into details. Late in 2020, as we were dating, is when Tim and Kathy Watley moved to Prince Edward Island. We met them very early on, and they've had a huge impact on us being in this position now. Really, the way they've impacted us the most is just their personal discipleship and mentorship of us. Us being able to spend time with them. And I guess at the time when we were dating, we really had no vision of being in this position, going overseas as missionaries. And so as we spent time with Tim and Kathy and just got more exposure to the need overseas, the need for people to actually uproot their lives and go and do the work of church planting, their passion for the lost people in other places, their ability to explain to us God's heart for people around the world, that really, we just soaked that in, just being around them. And I don't mean to give them glory, but we're so thankful for their faithfulness to God and the fact that they did choose to come here and to really try to engage the maritime provinces. And we've been, we've benefited from them immensely. So that's really, I guess, the first touch point kind of in our path here. In 2021, show a picture here, us and the DeVries kids, we had, Mackenzie's making a yucky face, we had the opportunity to go to the Ethnos campus in Durham with these three and with this other couple here. Some of you may recognize them. They actually work down at the Wyoming campus, or at the camp in Pennsylvania now, where our youth just came from. I believe they are working there, last I heard. And so we had the opportunity to go to the campus, to sit in on some training classes, to meet the missionaries, and to really get a lot more exposure to what Ethnos is doing, what God is doing in other places of the world, and the great need for workers. That was the real, I guess, the biggest exposure that we had there, was just leaving that, being like, man, there's so much need for the gospel around the world, so much need for people to actually pick up their lives and go to them and take the gospel, and what are we going to do about that? And so we left this trip kind of overwhelmed by the need, and with a sense of, if God calls us, I think we're willing to go, but we didn't know exactly what that meant. We had no idea what to do with that feeling of, we're willing to go if God calls us. Are we waiting for something more? And so we prayed about that for about 8 months, 9, 10 months. And during that process, obviously Bailey and I were both working. During that process of prayer and just thinking about it, being discipled by the Watleys, we just began to become uncomfortable with the lives we were living here. And I don't mean that in any way other than to say we felt that that was one way that God was stirring us to make a change. We were involved in the ministry of a little bit, Harvest House downtown Charlottetown. And one of the things we were thinking at the time as we were praying about this was the opportunity to move into downtown Charlottetown. Monty was born during this time while we were praying about missions. And just thinking if we could move down and be more involved in that ministry. And so we were really feeling uncomfortable with where we were at. And we weren't sure where that was coming from. We felt like the work we were doing, I was working in the architectural world. Bailey was working at an accounting firm. I was just feeling like the jobs we were doing were not yielding fruit in terms of what's valuable in eternity. And we were, really just questioning what are we going to do with our lives? And, just this discomfort that God was placing on us. I'm trying to move along here and not get sidetracked, so that's why I'm kind of stumbling. Anyway, so those are kind of the three main, I guess, factors that led us to the decision was the impact of the Whatleys moving here and their discipleship of us, our exposure trip to Durham, and then just this discomfort with the lives we were living. It felt like we needed to kind of make a change, like God was leading us somewhere. And now I just want to show this verse. You guys obviously know this. This is the Great Commission, Matthew 20:18-20. I'll just read it. It says, "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" I just share this because this was one of the things that that I guess impacted us. This verse specifically being that the call to go is here already for the church. God has called us as a universal church to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. The call is there for us to go as a church to be a part of reaching those people. And obviously this word nations, maybe not obviously, but this word nations in the Greek, I'm not a Greek scholar, I just know this because of ethnos. The word nations here in the Greek is the word ethnos, which basically means the Gentiles, the people groups, all of those who are not Jewish. And so there's the call to go to the rest of the world and to bring the gospel message. And so as we wrestled with this, we're willing to go, should we be waiting for a more specific call where we feel like there's a country on our heart where we should be going, or there's a specific ministry we should be looking at going into? This call sitting here in the New Testament to for the church to go is something that we really wrestled with just in prayer. And eventually we just came to the conclusion about 9 months after our trip to Durham. I believe it was September of 2022. I don't even know when it was. That might be wrong. We came to the decision individually. God had kind of led us in prayer individually to the point where we felt we need to step out in faith and say, we're going to start moving towards this missions thing and see where God takes us, see what he does with it. And at the time, we had absolutely no idea where that might take us. We had no plans to go with ethnos. We had no plans to go to Bible school. We had no plans for anything. We just felt like God was moving us in this direction, and we felt like it was the time we needed to respond and just step out and trust him and see what he did with that. And so, I guess, big picture, we're here now. But, so this idea of just the call for us to go already being in Scripture, and we have the opportunity to just walk in obedience. Not all of us need to go overseas, but there is the call for the church to be involved in that. And so that does mean some have to. And so us being willing, that was something that we felt we should do, is just step out in faith and trust God with this decision. And so from that point forward, we spoke with some friends and family, we spoke with the elders, and just felt that in order for us to really start moving down this path, we would have to make it known, instead of us just like, okay, we feel like we're going into missions, and then we're just going to like sit on that and see what God does, but not really make any movement because we didn't know what to do. And so we felt the only thing we did know, the only thing we knew what to do was just to tell people, tell our elders, say, we feel like God is leading us in this direction. And so that was very helpful for us and also very encouraging. There are other stories that encouraged along the way, but I won't get into that. So from that point, we decided to go to Ethnos and do a year of Bible school, which is now that program that Samuel was here a couple weeks ago, and he was mentioning the Bible school online from the Ethnos campus. So we moved there in September of 2023, and have just, I guess we were there from September 2023 until December of 2025. So just this past December is when we moved back. So we were there about 2.5 years. We did a year of Bible school online. Victoria was our one classmate in the Bible school there. Yeah, this is just a picture of Bailey kind of working on some stuff. I don't even know if this is actually Bible school work. It's just a picture that looked like it. And then this other one is just a little ministry nearby that we were able to help with. So we did the Bible school, and then we moved into the missionary training. Obviously, this is when Scott and Jess came to Durham and joined us as well. Here's a picture of our class. So Jess and Scott in the middle. You can see Samuel and Alyssa in this photo as well, Samuel and Alyssa Cook. And then another cool thing, the couple that took us to Durham that time, Pete and Leslie Dirksen, that were in this earlier photo, their daughter is also in our class. I was part of that. So there was lots of connections. Our time in the missionary training was amazing. We learned so much. I'm going to try to keep this moving. Here's a little bit of an overview of some of the things we did in the training. I'm not going to go through it, but we covered a lot of things there. The main point of, or I guess the main focuses of the training was to develop us in our Bible, our understanding of the Bible, the Word of God, our developing us in our character, and developing our ministry skills. So all of these are kind of based around building those three things up for us. And we grew in so many ways. We were stretched and challenged. Just so blessed by the team that was there training us. The training was a year and a half, and then we just graduated this past December and came back. These are just two photos. I love this picture of us in the... These ones here. This is obviously Scott, myself, Samuel, and Connor, one of our other classmates. This was one of our, we had like a short welding skills thing. So they just teach us a bunch of practical skills and stuff like that. Because obviously when you're out in the boonies somewhere in some country and like your toilet breaks, there's no one you can call to come fix it. You just got to fix it. So they teach us little skills like this. Or at least they teach us that, just go to YouTube. They teach us that too. And then this other photo is Bailey with one of our language helpers. We had a language practicum where we were able to basically try to get a sample of what the process of learning a language is like. And so Bailey and I were able to do German for about 3 months. And we were actually amazed to see how much you can actually learn in that amount of time, especially not being immersed in a German culture or anything. The idea of that was just that we get a little bit of experience in going through the steps of what it takes to learn a language. And so now hopefully when we move to Mexico, we do have some experience in what those steps actually look like that we will need to go through to progress in the language. So as our next question, what have we been doing? So the past couple months since we've been back here in PEI, connecting and reconnecting. Obviously, the reconnecting is you guys and the other friends and family we have around, just wanting to, obviously build new relationships and just spend time with the people in the church that we care about. And then we've been able to do a fair bit of traveling and sharing with other churches and believers. That's probably kind of fall into more of this category, the advocating and challenging. So part of what we've been doing as we've been going around and visiting these other churches and believers is just trying to share what God is doing in the rest of the world, specifically in Mexico. And advocating for those people who need the gospel, trying to stir up the maritime church to be a part of reaching them. Also challenging young people to consider missions as something that they could do with their lives. We've also been spending a little bit of time studying Mexican culture and Catholicism. I feel like I do have to say, the reason we are studying Catholicism is not so that we can convert to Catholicism. I've heard that was a concern. That was not the point. It was just so that, maybe you don't know. Mexico is a huge Catholic country, but 80% of the population is Catholic. And so Catholicism has a huge influence on the culture. It has a huge influence on the people's worldview and the way they think about life, the way they think about everything around them. Catholicism has a big impact on that. And so us spending a little bit of time trying to understand that is not so that we believe it, but that so that we understand might at least have a little bit more understanding as to the way that they view their world. And so when we show up and dive into their world, we can understand, or hopefully maybe understand a little bit better, how are they thinking about things? If we present the gospel, how are they going to interpret the words that I'm sharing with them? And so that's kind of why we've been studying Mexican culture and Catholicism, just to understand their world. And so when we get there, we might be able to integrate a little bit better. And then obviously other preparations, lots of paperwork and appointments and stuff like that. Here's just a couple photos of some visits to different churches, setting up tables. Here's Riley. We were at Grace Christian School with Scott doing a presentation for their high school and middle school classes. So where are we going? The question. In Mexico, specifically. You know we're going to Mexico. Show you a map here. So this pin, if you can see it, about the north-central part of the country, we're headed to the city of Chihuahua. I guess it's Chihuahua, but I don't know Spanish yet, so I'm going to say Chihuahua. So Chihuahua is where Ethnos Mexico has its home base, its home office. They also have a Bible school there. They have a training center there. And so all the new missionaries with Ethnos that come to Mexico come to the city of Chihuahua, and that's where we basically spend our first couple years just integrating into the culture, learning Spanish. And so that's where we're going. That's why we're going there first, is just because they have a program set up so that we can jump right in and we're not lost looking for ways to figure out how to learn Spanish. They've got it all set up for us. They have people there now that are looking for housing for us. They've got lots of missionaries around to help. Obviously, we're very thankful that we'll have some help there. But that's just that's where we're going. What will we be doing? Oh, I had something else written here about this. On Mexico. So you understand, some of you weren't here the Saturday morning that we did. We talk about we're going to do indigenous church planting in Mexico, and when we learned a little bit more about Mexico as a country, kind of the stats of the amount of gospel work that is needed was a little bit shocking to us. So just briefly, within Mexico, there's about 16 million indigenous peoples, and about two-thirds of that are what we as Ethnos would consider unreached peoples. So if you think somewhere between 10 and 12 million indigenous people in Mexico, mostly in the southern half of the country, who basically have very little or absolutely no access to the Word of God in their own language. Mexico is very diverse linguistically. There's about 364 or 5 indigenous languages. Like we said, about two-thirds of those languages have no access to the Word of God, or very little. And so there's a ton of work that needs to be done in these people groups in terms of working with them, learning their culture, learning their language, and hopefully eventually teaching through the scriptures with them and being able to give them a copy of the Word of God, which would be translated by a missionary team, giving them a copy of the Word of God in their own language. So that's where we'll be going. What will we be doing? this is what we will be doing. We'll be eating lots of nachos and tacos. Actually, that is exactly what we will be doing, but we will also be doing other things. So our first 2 years in Chihuahua and in Mexico, basically our full-time job is to learn the language and learn the culture and to connect with neighbors and the local church. That's basically what our job is. So we'll be learning Spanish, learning Mexican culture, and again, like we said, the point of this, actually, I'm not going to say that because that comes up later. Developing relationships, that's a big part of this. Just building some rapport with the Mexican people, with the local churches there. One of the goals for what we do is we don't just want, like, we're leaving our church basically kind of as an extension going to this country. We don't just want Canadian churches working in Mexico. We want to involve the Mexican church in these cities to also be a part of the works with their indigenous people. And so these connections and these relationships with the Mexican church are so important that we get them involved with reaching their own people in their own country. So developing relationships, and yeah, this is kind of a joke, struggling, but part of what they taught us in the missionary training, and one of my biggest takeaways, is it said especially the first couple months, when you show up in a new culture, you basically don't know how to do anything. You don't know how to communicate. Everything that's going on around you is like just blabber because it's just a wall of noise is what they call it, because you don't understand any of it. You don't know when you walk into a room how you're supposed to act, maybe, what time you're supposed to show up, what you're supposed to bring, what you're supposed to wear, all those sorts of things. So really, we show up, we're going to be struggling. And it's going to be hard, and that's one of the things they just pounded into us in the training, was not like necessarily how to get around this, but just letting us know this is what's going to happen when you get there, and in some senses it's going to be very difficult. Learning to rely on the Lord for strength and lean on our identity in Christ and not in the ability to be a functioning adult in a society, because that's not going to happen in the first couple months. And so that's kind of briefly what we'll be doing for the first 2 years. And so why are we doing that? Yeah, just with the main goal of being a reasonably functional person in their society. We can't go and do that very well if we don't know Spanish and we don't understand the way they think, the way they act. And so learning Spanish and Mexican culture, trying to become like them, connecting with the church, but also Spanish is our door in to connect with indigenous peoples. They may speak their own language, but they probably know little bits of Spanish. Most likely they don't know English. So our way in to communicate with these people at all has to be through Spanish. And so we need to learn Spanish in order to connect with these indigenous people. It also may be the language that we use in our own church planning team. So Mexico has, with Ethnos, they may have, on a church planning team, there may be a Canadian family and an American family and a German family. And so maybe the German family knows English, maybe they don't. Maybe the team is Canadian and Mexican and Russian. And so the language within your team, as you work in this indigenous people group, is Spanish. That's your common language. And so that's one of the other reasons why we need to learn Spanish, is because that may be the language that we need to function in as a team, being with or working with people from another culture. Sometimes we forget the world doesn't like revolve around English. It's our way in. This idea of Paul's example of the way that he functioned, I guess, in 1 Corinthians 9. I'll just read a couple of verses here. It says, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all so that I may win more. To the Jews I became a Jew so that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, though not being myself under the law, so that I might win those who are under the law. And then down to verse 22, it says, to the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that I may by all means save some. I do all things for the sake of the gospel, so that I may become a fellow partaker of it. And just this, yeah, this example of Paul in some way trying to take on the form and the culture of the people that he's working with in order to be, in order to be more understandable and to present a clearer gospel to them, understanding the way they think and the way they function and becoming part of them. There are things in every culture that are unbiblical, and so we do want to be on the alert to not be indulging and taking part in those things, but there are things that are just strictly cultural and unique to each culture, and so we want to try to almost take on a new identity in becoming like the Mexican people in ways that are biblical. And so that's what we'll be doing when we get there. Yeah, and that will be the first 2 years. And then from there, again, this idea that for Bailey and I specifically, our goal long-term is to be working in an indigenous people group on a church planting team. That is our pursuit. That's what we're trying to, at least that's what we're aiming at. And so after those first 2 years, hopefully we would be reasonably functioning adults in Mexico. Hopefully we've been able to make connections. And then from there, we would start to assess maybe what type of people group we would be going into, what type of work we would be doing. But that comes after being integrated into the culture and the language. But this is why we do all those things first, is so that we're able to continue moving in this direction. That's just the next step on the journey. So, question, when are we leaving PEI? And I'll give you our estimated date. We're hoping to leave Prince Edward Island July 21st. That is our, at least right now, the target date that we have, Lord willing. And so that is about 23 days from now. From tomorrow. So our time is quickly running out here. We're excited and at the same time have a lot of peace, which is good. Also, there are a lot of things that we need to do. We kind of need to get in order. And yeah, even me typing out 23 days, I was like, ooh, that's not a lot of time left. Leaving Prince Edward Island, hopefully that week. That means our last Sunday here will be July 19th. I think that's three more Sundays. And then we'll be taking about 3 weeks from the time we leave PEI until we actually cross the Mexican border. So we'll probably go to Nova Scotia, see my family, grandparents and parents and other extended family for about a week, and then spend about 2 weeks traveling through the States. Bailey has lots of family in the States. She's from the U.S. And so traveling through there, seeing some of her family, seeing some of our trainers that have moved down to the States. Just trying to, one, not kill our kids in the car. It's about 50 hours from PEI to the Mexican border. Just trying to rest a little bit, see some people, and just take our time. I'm not trying to kill ourselves before we get there. So our last thing here, some practical prayer requests I tried to write down for you. So first off, just finishing our preparations. That includes appointments, paperwork, purging and packing. If you're there on the Saturday, someone mentioned that I love purging, and it's true. One specific thing that goes along with this, we need a passport for Nora. And that means she was just born, I guess, 5 weeks ago. There are things that need to come in the mail, kind of like one at a time. And once we get one, we can apply for the next thing. And so we're waiting for her birth certificate. Once we get her birth certificate, we can go and get a passport. And that is a very practical prayer request. If we don't have her passport, we cannot enter Mexico. We need a passport. And so that is, something that we're praying about. Housing, like I said, there's a team down in Mexico that's looking for a house for us now. We will just be renting a house, but praying for that. The visa that I have applied for is still in the works. And as we've learned from the missionaries there, the way functioning with the or working with the Mexican government is very different than working with like the Canadian or the American government, where we would expect kind of like you come in with your paperwork, you take it in. If you got everything right, it's like, here, good to go, sign stuff, here's your visa. They say even if you kind of do everything right, it almost always takes two or three appointments, two or three calls, visits to the consulate or whatever. And so that made us feel better that we're just not doing things wrong. This is just how kind of the process that it takes. It's just a cultural difference. And so just be praying for that. We're still in the process of getting that visa. We've been told we don't actually need this visa to enter the country. We can get another one at the border, which allows us to just go in as tourists for a six-month period. And then at some point, I would probably just have to fly back to Canada, get this visa once it goes through, and then re-enter Mexico. And so this is something that we do need eventually, but it's not hindering us from entering the country. Just prayer for our trip down. Like I said, we're taking about 3 weeks, and we just be thankful for prayers for that. Pray specifically for our kids and just the family relationships as this is a massive change. We don't even know, like, in some senses, what to expect in terms of emotions and, just everything. And so just pray for that transition, that we would each be able to just be gracious with one another as we do this. Pray for our parents and our families. It is a huge sacrifice for them to let us, not let us, they're not necessarily letting us go, but to be sending us into a place that's far away. And so just be in prayer for our parents and for our families. Also pray for, just for the joy of the Lord for us, that we would be able, just to enjoy his presence and just to kind of enjoy this process as we go through it. And also that's just that we would be able to have good attitudes. Leave it at that. We also need to be praying for the Mexican people. Obviously with us and the Browns going down there and you guys being a part of this, this is something that we need to be praying about as a church. For the Mexican church and also for the indigenous people that hopefully we can be a part of bringing the gospel to them. We need to be praying for these people. And also for the 8 current church planting works that are happening in Mexico right now. So there are 8 church planting teams in indigenous locations in Mexico. And so we should be praying for those works. So that's all I have. I just want to take a second just to thank you guys. We know you have been behind us and praying for us so often, and we have felt that, and we very much appreciate that. We have felt very blessed by our church in huge ways. And as we've seen from other missionary situations, the situation that we're in terms of our relationship with you guys as a church and the way that you have gotten behind us is very unique, specifically within the organization of Ethnos. And so we're so thankful for that. And I think that's something that we too need to be praying about, just that is something that our enemy wants to discourage. He does not want us working together to reach these people. And so just pray that our unity and involvement in this as a whole would continue to be strong. And Yeah, so we have, I put, Bailey and I had new prayer cards printed a couple months ago. I put them on the back table there in the lobby. If you'd like to grab one, you can do that right there. It has, it says on there how to sign up for our personal newsletter that we send out or that Bailey sends out every month. Obviously, we'll still be sending letters, and we'll probably start to getting into sending short video clips to you guys as a church in updates. But if you'd like some of those longer ones that are sent out every month, you can sign up. The information on the back of that card. It's also a reminder to pray for us. And I would also just ask a specific request as we go. Many of you do this, but I would just ask as you pray and as some of you think of us as we go and transition to Mexico, I would just ask as we come to mind that you do reach out if you think of it. Many of you do this, and so I'm not saying people don't. We've been so encouraged by this, and that's why I want to just publicly say that this has been an amazing support to us, is the people just reaching out and sending a verse or a card or a text or giving a phone call or asking to set up a video call, little things like that are huge encouragements to us. Just to know that, not that we're forgotten. Obviously, we know we're loved by God. We know you guys pray for us. But it is an encouragement just to get a message, a little note from somebody every now and again. So I would ask that you guys do that when you think of it. Yeah, thank you. I hope that was informative and encouraging. And like I said, I will be sharing some stories of, yeah, just the way we've seen God's hand along this this journey on Wednesday night. So even if you have Canada Day plans, you might need to come out. Anyway, thank you.